The award-winning Mercedes-Benz Vito invites you to get this with Tony Martin and Arj Barker.
Look, we've got Arj Barker in here. This is going to be good. We can actually have someone who can inform us on United States issues, which we've never had before.
No. Good.
The availability of satiny caftans on the other side of the world. Any ideas, Arch?
Well, we don't really call them caftans.
What do you call them?
They're just like big goofy dresses.
Big goofy dress week. That's coming up here at Get This.
Look forward to it.
Have you ever been to the Playboy Mansion, Arch?
No, I haven't, no.
Not big enough to be invited yet?
Not quite.
All right.
I know people that have been.
Oh, well.
So it's close.
We're going to take you there today.
2 degrees.
We're going to run the Kim Beazley music because people love it, and we might be hearing from the big man himself, finding out who have you bumped into. Oh. And haven't you got a special idea for today yet?
Yeah, there's a Fister update.
Is there?
Oh, yeah. Fister's back in the pink.
Otto Fister, coach of Togo.
No, I don't want to say too much. And then we're also going to talk Sweet Games.
Oh, it's all coming up. Courtesy of the team from Get This.
Very reckless and very careless with very little regard to themselves or anyone else. One would like to think that they'd learn from experience, but I don't think that's going to be the case.
That's Devo, and this is Get This Around the Nation. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. Depends on where you're listening. Myself, Tony Martin, that man, Ed Cavalier.
Morning.
Richard Marsden pushing buttons. Fake round of applause, if you would, for Arj Barker.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for coming in, Arj.
Sure, man.
How do you go getting into the country? I mean, you've been here a few times. Are you considered trouble at the airport?
No, actually, I think some of the people know me at the airport. They're like, oh, yeah, you can go through.
Really?
You don't need to show us that.
We've seen you before.
Oh, yeah, just get in here, mate.
Well,
they check my ID and all that, but they're not too, like, they didn't even, the dog was looking at my suitcase funny. They're
right.
Like, it's just Arj. Oh,
they're so cuddly, those sniffer dogs. I love those.
You're not allowed to pat them.
No.
You can't pat them. They got me one time, he just sat down right in front of my suitcase. But then they searched me and everything, but I didn't have anything. So I think the dog, but you know, my suitcase is made out of hemp.
Oh, that's the way.
That's the reason why.
That'll do it.
You can distract those dogs just with a piece of string. Give it a go. Arj, how many times have you been to Australia now?
50 or 11?
I think it was one of those.
I don't know.
But I love how you're coming out here. I've got your list of dates, and you need a magnifying glass to be able to read it. You're really getting in down into the town hall.
Yeah, I'm getting in there.
You're not just going to a big-ass theatre and say, come to see me.
No, it's called getting in there. We're going to smaller towns like Sale and Ringwood and Werribee and Mooney Ponds. Forget about it.
You're going out to Newcastle. We've started in Newcastle this week.
It's our first week on in Newcastle.
Home of dancing steelworkers. That's all you need to know if you're going there. They can't stop.
I mean, it's been called Newcastle ever since I've been coming out of here, though. It seems like maybe the whole Newcastle.
Yeah, maybe it's time to update.
I think it's a marketing ploy.
Podcastle.
Yeah, that's good.
That's what they should. That's modern. We've got to get the Newcastle Podcastle happening.
I know.
iCastle. You know, if Apple sponsored it, it could be called iCastle. Paint it white.
That'd be nice.
What do we need to know? You've also got some kind of DVD coming out. Is that so that people who can't get down the local town hall?
Yeah, I just released a DVD. It's Arj Barker Live. And there's been a lot of confusion. A lot of people think it's Arj Barker Live.
Oh, okay.
But it's clearly not. It's a DVD. It's not live at all.
And what extras have you got on there?
I've got some Arj and Poopy on there and some My World episodes, some my set from the Great Comedy Debate.
Oh, yeah.
This is pretty fun. And a short film I made to
What's
send.
What's the film about?
Well, it's actually, I wasn't able to go to my 10-year high school reunion. And so I made a video to send to them. Like, it was called Greetings to Class of 89. And it was, it's like me on the beach and with all these girls. And I'm totally bragging about, like, how awesome I am. And it's pretty funny. I mean, it's got a surprise ending and all that. But
right.
I don't want to give it away. But I think it's pretty cool. So I put it on there.
Have you done a commentary track on you?
No, I don't. I didn't do that. No,
because you wouldn't think there'd be a lot of stuff.
Thanks for
Ross Noble does that. Ross Noble on his live, it's him live talking crap for 2 hours, and then he gets on and just commentates more crap over him talking crap, and then he's got a whole second concert as an Easter egg.
Oh yeah,
I'm not trying to cast aspersions on your
not at all
DVD. I love the Easter eggs.
Yeah,
though.
I know you do.
Do you ever find an Easter egg? Have you ever got a DVD?
How do you find an Easter egg? How do you even know it's there?
You muck around on the menus.
Well, But what do you mean? Like, what do I do? It's like, put left to push left.
Yeah,
and right.
Then eventually you'll find somewhere where you shouldn't be allowed to go, and a little logo will appear, and you just press enter, and you'll see some secret clip or something.
But do many DVDs have it? I mean, do people bother?
Oh, you can see, like, the good bit from Dude, Where's My Car? That's hidden.
What is the good bit?
I'm not sure, but it's in there.
Yeah.
Hidden stuff.
They're on a lot of DVDs. Yeah, there's a really good one on mine, so go out there and buy it.
Top Easter eggs.
First person to find it gets $1 million.
We, you know, now that we've got someone here from the States, we can finally get all our questions answered. What big US issues do we need? You know, K-Fed, obviously.
Yes. How's he going?
Yeah.
How is old America's most hated rapper going?
Is that's Britney's husband?
Yeah.
I don't really follow that stuff. Next question, please.
I think that's it, isn't it?
We've got
anything else, but Satiny Caftans are the big talking.
Yeah, Caftans.
Oh, it must be time for a Satiny Caftan update. We found this ad for Satiny Caftan lounges in one of the women's magazines, and we thought, let's get them.
We need some.
And out of stock. Can you believe that there would be that big a demand for a fashion item like that, Arj?
So they don't have any?
No.
They're completely out of caftans?
There's nothing. There's nothing until the 26th of October.
What do we do till then?
Well, crazy. Here you go. Listen to this. Rebecca Hibbard, one of our listeners, has emailed in to say that after looking at the comfortable yet stylish luxury 100% polyester caftans, I see they're now on sale for the low price of $14.98.
Where?
I just want to make sure you had not ordered your caftans at full price, especially considering the delivery delay you have experienced. Yeah. If I were you, I would recommend demanding a partial refund.
Only partial.
It's so luxurious, and it says you can wear them while entertaining or even for a candlelight dinner for two. Mm-hmm. Although I find it hard to believe that you're going to find anyone to have dinner with you if you wear one of those.
If you're wearing a caftan, and it would also be quite dangerous.
I also suggest you can sleep in them.
You can do anything in them.
I think that's the idea. You just never have to take them off.
Yeah, I don't know. That's not going to be a very good variant. I don't want my date to, like, show up, like, clothes she slept in. You know, I want a little more effort.
But the thing
wear
is,
a belt?
It's all about no effort. But we don't want to suggest that they're moo-moos.
No.
Because that's what when you really have just given up, I think.
Right.
I mean, that's something you see in the States a lot. Here's something we don't really have here.
What?
People who are so big they have to be craned out of their house.
We haven't had one of those yet.
What is that about, Arch? I mean,
not like a regular occurrence, but we have some pretty big folks back home.
Yeah.
Every now and again you'll see, you know, such and such from somewhere, craned out of his house, through the roof.
Morbidly obese, it's called. How are they getting the food? How are they getting to the fridge?
On a stick.
They might have it delivered.
To the bedroom. All the way to the bedroom.
Yeah, it's possible, and there's all sorts of delivery services back home. And some of them will even feed it to you.
Hey, that's all right.
Ed claims they're being fed like a bit of sandwich on the end of a stick.
That's what I reckon. Just can't lift their arms, just put it in front of their face, and they'll chew off what they can.
Yeah, but there's a lot of fat people back there.
Yeah, there are. There's no denying it.
But that doesn't matter because the caftan fits any figure.
It's true.
Okay, that's the caftans covered. What about, hey, how are you into table tennis? You any good at table tennis?
I'm not great at it, but I enjoy it.
All right. Mm. Ed, where's your tournament?
As soon as Angus Sampson finishes on that film,
we're having a
tournament.
We've been sizzling this tournament up for six months.
The winner gets to be a guest on the show, but I'm going to win, so whoever's second place.
When's the venue going to be finished?
My house.
That's what I hear.
Construction will start later this year, to be finished by 2009.
Oh, we can't wait till 2009.
It's
going to
be sweet,
tournament?
Though. It's a good venue. Jeez, it's a good venue. Underwater, it's amazing.
Underwater table tennis.
Yeah. It's going to be great.
That's what we're working with today?
Yeah. Look, it's going to be, Tony, it's going to happen.
Yeah?
And I'm going to win.
All right. What about this show, When Sex Goes Wrong? This is a great show that a lot of people are alerting us to. It's coming up Sunday, 1st of October. That's this Sunday, 12:25 a.m. on SBS.
Now we're talking.
When Sex Goes Wrong.
I think I saw it's a British show, isn't it?
I'm not sure.
Have you seen it?
Is it good?
It was on the other night. Excuse me. It's pretty good, actually. It's pretty out there. It's like all these stories like, you know, people like crap. You know, one lady like crapped the bed, and like, and then she was having a one night stand, and She rolled the guy into it and made him think that he'd done it. And he woke up and he was like really mortified. And she's like, I think you better go now.
I mean, that's a desperate situation. That's a me or you situation.
Yeah.
So that's what it's going to be.
Good show.
Individuals and couples. What I like is individuals as well recount their sexual experiences where the whole thing has gone disastrously wrong.
Whole thing, not even a bit of it.
No, that's when sex goes wrong, SBS.
Fantastic.
12:25.
It's on the right network. SBS won't be, you know, Channel 7 or 9, I would accuse them. They might snip a little bit, the good, like the best bits.
Yeah.
SBS. No worries.
SBS, no BS.
No way.
They say back home.
They've snipped the whole of that Rome show. That got the arse last night.
That's out of here.
That got that terrible little announcement at the end where it's being moved to a better time slot.
Yeah, 3 a.m.
Of never. That's what they've done with that. And The Sopranos, I watched it. I couldn't follow The Sopranos.
Why not?
It was one of those dream episodes where Tony's having a dream and you can't follow what's going on.
I do it every now and again.
Yeah. All right. We've covered the big stories.
We're done.
That's what we do here, Arch.
See you later.
But, hey, the Playboy mention, I know it's one of your aims to eventually go there.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind going down and checking it out.
We're going to take you there next on Get This. That's In Excess around the nation on Get This on Triple M, or if you're in Newcastle, on KOFM. You know who's coming to Newcastle? That'd be Arch Barker. Right. He's on tour pretty much everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Go to his website. There's some details there, except I think the dates are on your MySpace.
Yeah, all the dates are on my MySpace, because I think I have more people go to my MySpace profile these days than my website.
How do you go on there? I mean, do you get many, you know, bizarre comments? What friends have you got on your...
How many friends have you got?
I have 11,000 and 100 friends.
How many of them have you ever met?
Oh, they're real friends. I can count on them to be there. And we went bowling the other night.
That'd be great.
Did you just ever get onto your own page and find something completely baffling and mystifying?
Well, yeah, people post some pretty weird stuff, but actually the thing I like about MySpace is it's like I call it a positive forum, because by saying that you want to be friends with someone, presumably you wouldn't then write something nasty about them.
Yeah, that's
true. It'd be like you have to approve them to be your friend before they could post anything. Ah. So, it's very rare, like, and a lot of, like... other internet situations where you have forums, you know, people, there's, you know, someone gets on and starts writing, you know, this sucks, I hate this. Yeah. But you don't get as much in MySpace because you're only dealing with quote-unquote friends.
So and you can get rid of them. And if they turn on you, then you cut them out of the loop, can't you?
That's a weird thing. I lose about 5 or 6 friends a day. And because I just noticed the numbers drop, because I had like 1,100 exactly once. And then, like, you know, a few hours later, I look, and it's like 10,000.
So what happens? Do they feel like you're neglecting them, and then they get out of it?
I don't know what happens to them. I mean, it's sad when anytime you lose a friend, but if you lose 6 friends in 5 hours, that's like tragic.
It's tough on the self-esteem.
Yeah, I don't know if they stopped wanting to be friends, or if they...
they gone to another comics page?
Yeah, they moved on, they let go, or some people just cancel their membership.
How do you get on the front page? Because I don't have a MySpace page, but I've been to them before. And then on the front, it's got like these your friends, and there's like a little box where there's like 6 or 8 people. And then there's posts from other of your friends. How do you get into that top little box?
Oh, it just says view all so and so's friends.
I thought it was like a best friends thing. The box, like
that's the top 8, and you can adjust it and make top 4 up to top 16, I think. So and that's people, you know, that's like a big deal if you're on someone's top.
Yeah, that's like a leaderboard.
Yeah, you know? A lot of time. I mean, I've just had the same people there for a long time, but, you know, it's almost time to clean house.
Got to lose a few. Got to re-strategize.
Yeah, but people really will take it hard if you knock them out of your top 8. That's the problem. It's really awkward.
Oh, look, I'm sure a lot of friends of yours will be showing up. You're on at the Melbourne Fringe Festival, opening tomorrow night for a couple of weeks, and then pretty much going everywhere else in the country, probably almost everywhere.
Everywhere, I think.
Not to Osaka. Sorry, Osaka listeners. We are a breakfast show.
I know.
In Osaka, we need to bring back Battle of the Sexes, I'm told. But, you know, you've been here so many times, Arj. A lot of overseas comedians come in and they have a long list of things that they need explaining because they don't get it about Australia. I'm assuming you've pretty much got the hang of the place now.
Yeah, my list isn't very long anymore.
No? Is there anything left on the list at all?
I still don't understand all that footy and how those sports work.
Yeah.
But like, the thing that confuses me is there's like rugby and then there's footy and then there's Australian rules. And it's all pretty, I don't get it.
Yeah, it's a big week for it too.
But they love it. I know people love it. I mean, I know that they're really into it. They have, people have their scarves.
That's all right. We're nerds on this show, so we're not really getting behind the whole grand final week thing.
Oh, fair enough.
I do love the way the football supporters go nuts. You like you say, chanting.
Yeah.
We nerds, there's no chanting. Film buffs, we... Up there, Scorsese. I always try to get a chorus of that going at the film festival. They don't get into it.
You show up with your face painted.
Yeah, you don't have the same...
rallying cries.
But
there's good moments for nerds, too. Like, you know, when you... I don't know, when you finally get your DSL firing as fast as you want it. And it's like, way!
It makes life worth living. But, you know, so that's Australia. But, you know... There's certain things that baffle us about the States, and...
Yeah, I wasn't very much help with that KedFed guy, because I...
No,
really
it's all right.
I don't read much tabloid stuff.
No, you're missing not very much at all.
No, not really.
But I've got the Foxtel, and there's a show on there called Girls of the Playboy Mansion.
I have seen that.
And it's just a reality show where they follow Hugh Hefner and... Okay. I mean, are they his wives? Who are those women?
They're his girlfriends. It's like MySpace. He's got his top 8 kind of girlfriends, and then he's got the sort of bottom 1,000 underneath that.
I thought, how can I choose just one clip that sums up the whole series? Yeah. So have a listen to this.
I've never seen it.
This is just a brief moment that I think sums up the whole show.
My dress was not really staying on during the scavenger hunt, but that's okay. I'd rather get the clues than have my clothes anyways.
There you go. A semi-nude scavenger hunt. That's pretty much every hour.
How do you lose your clothes in a scavenger hunt?
Yeah, that's...
What is it?
I don't know. Do you want to hear some more of that woman?
No, I want to
That's
know.
One of...
What's her name?
I can't remember because there's the Trixie and Stacey and Tiffany. Someone like that. They're all interchangeable sort of wives of Hef.
All right. Hef's
Here's a bit
one.
More.
Like, I have this huge butt fetish. Guys and girls, you know. And, what was I talking about again?
Easily distracted.
What was that talking about?
Talking about butts about a second and a half earlier and then just forgot where she was.
Poor thing.
At one
fetish is taking over.
Well, yeah, she's got her clothes are falling off. There's a scavenger hunt. There's a lot on her mind.
And then,
why were they having a scavenger hunt? What was it in aid of?
I don't know. I was distracted by the enormous breasts. I'll be honest with you.
Well, that's what they do in reality shows. They always come up with like... You know, we're going to have, you know, they'll do some things that no one would ever do in reality. You know, like have a drink. <hug. laughs>
Or visit the Statue of Liberty. Listen, I think this is a dodgy sound. Listen very closely to hear what either Trixie or Tiffany said when they reached the Statue of Liberty.
It looks tiny from far away. I know. The Statue of Liberty, a real person?
No.
They're all laughing at me like I was stupid or something.
Is the Statue of Liberty a real person?
A really tall person who's green.
I mean, was there someone getting around, you know, Jennifer of Liberty, with that hat on and that gear?
Someone's seen her and gone, you know what? I think that woman Jennifer would make a good statue.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
We could whack that up in New York.
What? Okay.
And represent everything that's good about this joint.
Okay, yeah, I'm into that.
Yeah?
Why did they go to the Statue of Liberty?
Oh, I don't know.
And how did they get them scantily clad in that situation?
The clothes just fall off.
Really?
It's pretty much Hef, and he's got two women on each arm.
Yeah.
I think they're all married, and the clothes just tumble away.
He's just got a string that he pulls every now and again, and everyone's clothes come
off. I don't think it was a real Statue of Liberty. I think it was probably at one of their garden parties, and it was made of Jell-O.
All right.
Girls of the Statue of Liberty.
Same message.
And
what are they playing for? Are they playing for anything?
Oh, there's no competition element.
That show is all about freedom. It's about freedom of lifestyle.
It is. Because they can do anything they want as long as Hef's happy. And
so is Hef in it?
He's in it. He's lurking around. Here's one of them making Hef dinner. And this is, I don't think this woman had ever cooked anything before.
I'm going to make hamburgers, hot dogs, which should be pretty easy. And how hard can it be to cook a burger and a hot dog?
Yeah, I've never cooked before.
Yeah, this is a housewife costume. I'm wearing a housewife costume because if I'm going to do something like cook, I want to celebrate it with a costume.
It was
a chef's outfit.
It was a virtually invisible costume. It was very little. It didn't really look like a housewife costume to me.
What was it?
It was just basically a boob tube.
That's housewives for you.
There you go.
They get around. And then Hef arrives for the meat banquet.
Is his birthday or anything, or is it just...
That's just every day for Hef.
Okay.
In the gear, sitting at table. And the, you know what you want?
He always wears a bathrobe, right? He,
always the same bathrobe and the silk pyjamas.
Silk pyjamas.
And bit of a comb over happening. But he's over 80 or something.
He's 80 years old.
He's very frail, isn't he?
And what you want is the wisdom of Hef.
Mm-hmm.
You want it. So what does he talk about around the table? Have a listen to this.
That's fine. Yeah, that's 69. Yeah. No, that's 86, actually.
Oh. Unpopular position, 96.
Yeah, why don't they call it 96?
There would be two people with their backs to one another.
I think they could.
What?
What?
There would be two people with their backs to one another.
Yeah, you're right.
That's why 96 never caught on.
It's actually a pretty sharp observation.
It is. It's not bad.
Right.
He was pretty quick on that.
He really had thought that through.
It's almost like he's given it some thought before.
Maybe he's tried the 96.
It wasn't good enough.
It's basically just Hugh and giggling.
Because at first I was like, yeah, why don't they call it a 96? And then he sorted it right out.
Yeah. So how does it end? Like, what do we, you know, like, how do you get to be one of the girls of the Playboy Mansion?
You've just got to sleep with Hugh Hefner.
What do you do, show up?
Yeah, I don't know. But this is what it's like having sex with Hef.
It was just like lightning. I blinked and it was over.
Oh, that's a cheap shot. That's unfair.
Oh, no.
There's no need for that. But you've never been there, Arch. I mean, do you know anyone who's ever been there?
Yeah, I know some comedians that have been up there and stuff.
All right.
And hung out up there. Sure.
It just looks a bit sad, I have to say.
You know. It's a little weird. But, you know, it would still be kind of funny to go check it out and stuff.
Just for a
but
day.
But they have loads of parties up there. I think they have parties, like, almost every night. But Hef isn't always around, and it's very sort of commercial, I get the feeling.
Or you can hire it out kind of thing.
I don't know about that. I don't think so. I don't know, really, the story. But
okay.
There's loads of, like, little parties up there, but... I've never been up there.
Oh, it could happen. But who have you bumped into? That's what we want to find out. Are we playing Who Have You Bumped Into today?
Dovetailed with something else, which we'll get to in a minute.
Wow. It's Preparation Central. Get this. Get this.
I just think it's better if we leave that kind of thing aside, because I don't think it helps public debate or public policy in any way at all, actually.
For the award-winning Mercedes-Benz Vito on Triple M.
Let's get this, and it's around the nation, including Newcastle now, on Triple M, but KOFM if you're in the castle.
Mm-hmm.
It's a complicated show, this one. Getting the hang of it. Arch Barker is with us.
Yes.
And, he's almost Australian now. Do you love us? Have you picked up any Australian phraseology that you've taken back to the States?
Oh, struth.
Struth? How does that one go down over there?
About as well as it goes down over here.
Struth. What, have we got any new phrases that we need to send out to the world?
Not really. No. You know.
I love give it a burl.
Give it a burl.
That's my favourite Australian.
Give it a burl, what does that mean?
Just have a crack at it.
A red hot
go. What does have a crack at it mean? A red hot go.
A red hot burning go. That's my favourite.
Yeah.
Red hot go.
A red hot burning go.
Yeah. I had a red hot burning go after I had Mexican food.
Here's the part of the show where Ed Cavalli dazzles and amazes with his musical dexterity.
Yeah, I got a guitar, I got an echo box, and a tambourine.
Wow.
2, 3, 4.
Okay. You're sort of going for that U2 sound? Is that what you're aiming for?
Yeah, if you want to call it that. I mean, it's the Cavalli sound, really.
Yeah.
Can I get it louder, louder, louder?
That's not bad. You're not going to sing, are you? Are you going to sing?
I do.
I should stop talking in case you sing. That's you too. Still haven't found what they're looking for. Here at Get This Around the Nation, where our co-host is Arj Barker. And so many people emailing in about you, Arj. Sinead is a big fan of yours.
Oh, yeah, what'd she say?
She says her love for you is almost as strong as her hate for Nickelback.
Ah, fair enough.
That's the greatest compliment a person can give.
She's realized she's doing year 12 at the moment, the final year of school, and she's realizing the grand scheme of things that year 12 doesn't matter as much as the website catsthatlooklikehitler.com.
Oh, we've had a lot
She's on the way.
Yeah, a lot of people aren't happy.
Why?
Some people say that a lot of the cats don't in fact look like Hitler on that website.
I reckon they're being harsh on the cats.
You a cat lover?
Yeah, I like cats a lot. Yeah, I also like dogs though. Like, I don't know why everyone's like, you know, you have to be like a cat person or a dog person. Yeah. I mean, personally, I enjoy making love to both cats and dogs. I don't see why.
Do you feel that a Hitler moustache sort of takes the edge off the cuteness, though?
Yeah, a tiny bit. It depends what breed it is.
Yeah, you could always just cover that up, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, he ruined that style, didn't he? I mean, by itself, there's nothing wrong with a moustache. Yeah. He pretty much ruined it.
My wife claimed she saw a bloke at the supermarket with a Hitler moustache last week.
No way.
I don't buy it.
No way.
I'm saying there was Hitler, there was Charlie Chaplin, and there was Blakey from On the Buses, a very obscure English sitcom. And that is it. Have you ever seen a Hitler moustache in real life?
No, you don't. No. It's over.
No, it's gone. It's dead.
It's past. But unlike the award-winning Mercedes-Benz Vito... Our sponsor, it's the Van of the Year. It won Van of the Year at the Van of the Year pageant in, I'm assuming, Oslo.
Yeah, probably.
I'm guessing that's where it would be.
Somewhere Nordic.
Came second in evening wear.
You did.
But in every other category, it was Van of the Year.
I'm floor with them.
You know, a calf can fits all sorts of styles of cars.
That'd be nice.
It doesn't matter what size, if you're a van or a midsize or even a compact.
Or even if you're the leader of the opposition, Kim Beazley. Here he comes. People love our Kim Beazley theme music.
Now, people desperately want it as a ringtone. And Patrick McCormick has obliged. If you go to our Wikipedia page,
yes.
They get this page, the highly vandalized Get This page, and you go and you scroll down past all the references to Tony's tackle. Then down the bottom, he's put a link to a website where he's loaded up the Kim Beazley ringtone.
Because we don't have the copyright documents to put it on our own website, but we can direct you to people who are doing it illegally.
Good old nerds.
Are you on the Wikipedia, Arch?
Yeah, I think I am. Yeah, I haven't really looked at it, but I am on there, apparently.
It's quite straightforward. I had a look at your Wikipedia page this morning, Arch, and it's pretty not very vandalized. It's just pretty much straight that. This is what he does.
So people vandalize it. What do you mean by that? What do they do?
They can just get on there and change stuff. You know,
anyone can do that, huh?
Yeah, somebody said on my page that I was the dad on Alf for 3 episodes. It's simply not true.
How many episodes was it?
2.
Second series.
That guy, Mac somebody, isn't he on the crack pipe? Wasn't there like National Inquiry expose? Dad from Alf.
Sucking
on the crackpot.
Oh, no.
Like Bobby Brown.
Oh, no.
I love it when sitcom stars go bad. There's a big tradition of that over in the States.
Anybody can do that? They can change anything?
Anybody can change history. Anything you want.
Can you get in trouble, though, like if you start making stuff up?
Well, you can be banned or they might lock the site down for a couple of days.
But it'll go up there for a while. You can put anything you want up and it'll stay there for at least a while.
Did you hear about that new thing where... It's like creating a virtual world where you can re-register like anyone. You could buy Google.com.
Really?
Yeah, it was on the front page of the paper. It's like a virtual world on the internet. So it's double virtual.
Oh.
So you can be anyone you want.
Oh, so it's like Earth 2.
Yeah, yeah. And
like the parallel
and
universe.
Everything's open again.
Right. So have you contributed?
You have to buy it in... I forget what it's called. Weibo. It's by the... Rupert Murdoch bought it.
Of course he did.
Of course he did, yeah.
Some things are the same even in the virtual world.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. And then, like, somehow you can make money off it, too. Like, if you get a lot of hits, you can sell advertising space. So, like, you could buy ParisHilton.com and then sell advertising space. But they said it's going to cause a lot of lawsuits because, you know, if you're Paris Hilton, do you want someone making money off your name? Because you don't quite have enough, so you need to get out there. And get
it. Struggling. Poor little thing.
Yeah, she's got a lot of reggae to get on with.
She's
the new queen of reggae. That's what I've been reading.
Thank goodness.
Hey, I reckon we've got to get up the mountain. Do you want to do that?
Let's do it.
Forget that other business that you had queued up.
Let's have a red hot go.
Yes, have a red hot go up the mountain. Talkback Mountain. We've heard very little from you this week, Richard Marsden, man who pushes our buttons. Are Newcastle really getting across your windswept reputation?
I mean, I'm trying to. I mean, I'm doing my best.
Yeah.
Newcastle people know me.
Yeah. Oh, what would they know you from? From Rove, obviously. Your occasional appearances on Rove.
Back of the head work on Rove.
Were you on this week? Was there anything?
No, it wasn't. I'm coming up in a few weeks, though.
What are you doing?
Sex Office. It's this serial. Like a 70s serial, and yeah. I play a tradesman in that.
Mustache? Whoa. Any mustache work?
No, but I've got some big, you know, like the guy in the Cougar ads?
Yeah.
Basically his hair, and I'm wearing some overalls, and I've got a mighty big toolbox.
Oh! In case you're wondering, Richard does a lot of, you know, sketch work on the Rove. He'll often just be a hand on a door or body floating in a creek, something like that. Yeah. It's pretty impressive.
Good. And he's very good. He's got quite a following.
Yeah, he'll be at that Playboy Mansion in no time. Did we have the sound already? Did we get up there? We're already up Talkback Mountain. And today we're talking about who have you bumped into.
Now, why is that, Tony?
Because I'm just constantly bumping into people who have been on the show.
Oh, yeah?
A bloke a couple of weeks ago stops me at the lunch bar, claims to be the guy who sang the theme from the Transformers, You Got the Touch in duet with Richard on the show. He's very happy about that.
That was great.
Women are so impressed.
Did he win anything?
No, but we keep in touch.
No. And then last weekend...
You're both winners.
Everyone's a winner. But Carlos comes up to me in the street,
Carlos, I remember, says,
I was the bloke who won the Grower Geek.
Yeah, the Lockie Hume brought
it. When Lockie Hume came in here to talk movies, and apparently it's already grown to twice its original height.
Yeah, has it?
So people just... And he was keen to know, really, what was the result of the debate we were having on the show about how Superman cut his hair.
It's not Lockie Hume's bizarre mirror-based, you know, laser face. Ray.
That's what Lockie claims, that Superman sits in a chair with a mirror, uses his heat vision, bounces it off the mirror and cuts his hair and somehow works it into that very tidy style. I don't buy that.
Nah.
It's possible, though.
Yeah?
I mean, theoretically, it's possible if you have laser vision.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're a good shot.
That could work.
Could do it.
There's so many mysteries. We've had Groovy Bob, who constantly emails us.
Hi, Groovy Bob.
He says, if Superman is super strong and kryptonite is the only thing that can hurt Superman and lead is the only substance that kryptonite can't penetrate, why doesn't Superman just wear a lead costume?
Heavy.
It would be heavy, but not for Superman.
Not for Superman.
But it would be unflattering. Yeah, it would be bulky and unflattering.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, they actually make lead captains now.
Is that right?
Lead captains. Which are, you know, you can sleep in them in a pile of... a pile of kryptonite.
Nothing.
We have dinner for two. and the main course is roast kryptonite.
Then you'll be safe.
You'll be fine. So forget about it.
Are they still satiny if they're made of lead?
I think so.
Here's my big Superman issue. In the Superman movies, when he wants to go up to his hideout up at the North Pole,
or whatever it is,
he just flies up there and he just sort of... It appears to be open plan. He just lands in some crystals and he's there.
Yeah.
There's no lock.
No.
There's no security system.
No.
But in the comics, if you think back, older people, he had to actually open it with a giant key. Do you remember this, Richard?
No, I've never.
There was like a door in the side of a mountain and then he had a giant metal key, like about 50 feet long, hidden behind a tree, and he would fly down. And you go, it's just a bit literal, isn't it?
That's a bit
obviously, he's got to unlock it. But the process of having a giant key
move a big rock?
That would be simpler, you would think. That would keep the brainiac
people
out.
People would see the giant key and think, wonder if that goes in that giant lock up there.
Usually when you see someone holding a giant key, you just think, well, it's just symbolic. You know, it's like, you know, whenever it's like the key to the city, really use it for anything.
I don't think you're going to pop down to the town hall and that's going to fit somewhere. All right. Laws. Who have you bumped into, Ed Cavalier?
Well, I'll tell you who I would like to bump into is Phil Pfister.
Who is Phil Pfister? We know Otto Pfister, coach of Togo.
Coach of Togo. He's out. The new Pfister on the block is this bloke here, Phil Pfister, who's a West Virginia, he's a firefighter, who's gone off to China, and he is now the world's strongest man. He's officially the world's strongest man.
What kind of criteria do you have
for him? He can pull a bus. Faster than anyone else. He can lift stones weighing hundreds of kilos and put them on one pillar to another.
That's pretty strong.
Yeah, that's pretty strong. He can lift cars if he wants to. And then he's stronger than everyone else in the world. He's the strongest man in the whole world. And he's 195 centimetres and 146 kilos.
Phil Pfister.
How good is that?
Wow. Don't mess with Phil Fister.
Don't mess with the Fister.
I know in America people love doing stuff like that, pulling a whole bus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what he's doing. He's just got a rope and a bus.
Yeah.
You know, it's the 3:30 to town hall, pulled by Phil Fister.
Well, he'll be very handy when the whole petrol crisis takes off.
He will be. In hot demand. A rickshaw with Phil at the front of it.
That's who you want to bump into.
I'd love to. I'd just love to see how massive he is and just see him, ask him to do stuff. You just want to be like, can you rip that tree out of the ground?
Is this going to be who you want to bump into, though? Is
yeah,
who you have?
Friendly. Oh, right. So who you have bumped
into. Yeah, I think you've misinterpreted the whole premise. Who have you bumped into? Arj, have you bumped into anyone of note?
I haven't bumped into that many people this trip so far. Although I did bump into Dave Hughes and Rove and Limo.
Okay.
You know Limo?
Yes.
Yeah, they were all down there at the Como Bar before the big rugby awards.
All right.
And they were all dressed up, and I somehow didn't hear about the party. I don't know. That's weird, cause being that I was staying there and everything, and I have two of those guys that have my number, and I won't name which ones, Limo and Husey. And,
I guess you're just not in the box of special friends on their MySpace page.
No, it's just so weird that you wouldn't tell your buddy that there's a party right downstairs.
What's that about?
No, I'm not upset or anything. I'm not, you know, dragging it out on the street here, telling the whole country about it. But, like, whatever. If you guys don't want to hang out, just say so. I texted you a long time ago, Husey, just to say, hey, thanks. It was good to be on your show, and it's always good to see you. But whatever. It's not like I care. I'm not going to bring it up.
Yeah.
Phil Fister wouldn't leave you hanging like that.
No way. Never leave you hanging. No. Listen, I'd like to dovetail today, Tone.
A dovetail? Have we got time for a dovetail? This is when we do a second completely irrelevant challenge. What's that?
It's going to be called Sweet Games, and it's based on this game here. New Yorkers stalk victims in citywide game. The 27-year-old graduate student is playing Street Wars, a version of the popular college and high school game called Assassins that kicked off in New York, blah, 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 blah. He's given a photo, a name, and home and work address and phone number of a target who you then must go and kill with a water pistol, water balloon, or other water-based soaking.
So this is someone you know, or people chosen at random from the phone book?
This is it. This is people just sign up for it. There's 240 people that have just started playing in New York. And he says that at kids, we used to play around in parks, and we thought this was a way to make friends in the city. Now look at this. People are getting right into it. In preparation for the game, many players have devised secret means of entering and exiting their homes, while others have stocked up on an arsenal of water-based weaponry and practiced surveillance techniques. It's interesting how into it people get.
So this is a way of making friends.
This is a way of making friends. And KO says, I thought it would be a fun way to make friends if I don't die in the first week, right? And then this is the best bit. It's interesting how into it people get, noting that one player in a previous game who spent almost all of his time on players' rooftops dressed as a ninja, and in recent London game, some male players disguised themselves by dressing as women for over a month.
I think they were. I would have done that anyway.
It's for a game, man.
Generally, when someone dresses like a woman for a month, the game has very little to do with it.
So you're just targeting people at random.
Well, my cousin, and the reason I brought it up is because my older cousin played it when we were a kid. Yeah. And you had to, but theirs was different. You had to just read this little letter that said you're dead.
There was no surveillance.
No, and he got poisoned at the dinner table, and his mum was in on it. We were eating away, and in his dinner was a little, he was like, what's this? And there was a little card that said, you're dead. He was mortified. His mum was in on it.
Okay, so what are we doing here? Who have you bumped into? And what sweet game have you invented?
Or played or invented?
No.
Invented's good. Sweet game you've invented.
Are we running so late that we're going to go straight to the callers?
Don't say it.
That's always dangerous. And I, you know, if there's gunfire involved, I don't know if we want to do this.
Okay, here we go. Hello, okay. Steve.
Hi. Hey, you crazy guys. How you going?
We're excellent. Tell me, who'd you bump into?
One of you guys was talking about the Cougar ad before.
Yeah.
Sovereign Hill, the guy that actually goes up and asks for the five Cougars. He's one of the character players down there.
So Sovereign Hill, this is like a kind of theme park, historical theme park.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. So he's like playing the soldier guy and he's playing the governor and all that sort of stuff. He's a funny guy, so he's pretty cool.
Is he in the stocks? That's always good if you're in the stocks.
No, I never saw anyone there, but geez, if I got my mother-in-law there, it'd be a go, wouldn't it?
Okay, all right.
Go.
We'll see if we can arrange that. Your dream may come true.
Thank you, Steve. Hello, Haley.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, we're excellent. Who did you bump into?
I actually bumped into Carl Kennedy off Neighbours.
Did you?
Oh, no. Who's Carl Kennedy?
He's the doctor.
Oh, okay.
Yes, it puts it about a bit.
Does he?
Yeah, bit of a pants man. It was 3 years ago and all my mates were getting his autograph, so I walked up to him and I gave him my autograph.
There you go. And you know what? I bet he's never had that happen to him before, Hayley.
I bet he threw it in the bin 5 minutes later.
And now he's a bit of a lady killer on the show. In real life, was he all hands?
No.
Thank you, Hayley.
Have you ever done that, Arch? Just gone up to a celebrity and demanded their autograph? I mean, in any period of your life, have you ever tried that?
I got Darth Vader's autograph.
Darth Vader's autograph? Yeah. The voice or the bloke?
Apparently it was the guy that played him. The voice is that really famous guy.
James Earl Jones.
Yeah, but it was actually supposedly the real guy.
David Prowse.
But they could have just been telling us that. It was at a mall.
It could be anybody.
And he signed it Darth Vader.
He signed it Darth Vader.
That was pretty crap.
With an evil flourish. Who's next?
Hello, Sean.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. You've got a game for us?
Yeah, at school we used to play Swat the Fly. And what it entails is at recess, somebody would get a pair of wings stuck on their back. Now, what would happen is that they'd start running and we'd all start swatting him with something, you know, cricket bats, balls, anything.
And how did the wings get there? I don't understand that part.
Well, whoever was the fly before, the day before, got to put it on somebody else the next day.
And what were they made of, these wings?
Did you have a big set of wings?
Oh, no, just be a pair of wings drawn on a piece of paper.
Oh, that's not really trying.
And there's also card zap roulette. So you'd actually pick a card and play roulette, and if you picked the wrong one, you actually got shocked by a 9-volt battery.
Fantastic.
And are you still doing this? You know, have you moved on?
My wife won't let me anymore, unfortunately.
Oh, Sean.
I know. It's pretty bad, but...
What a bummer. Well, that sounds... Now, when you say you hit them with a cricket bat, how swatted did the fly end up? Like, is it hospital time?
One poor kid, John Taylor, this is up in Newcastle, mind you.
Yes.
One poor kid, he actually got a leg broken, his elbow broken, and I think a shoulder or something one day.
Wow.
Well,
no, but the only thing that stopped him was the leg, and that was it.
He kept running.
Yeah.
Well, except for after his leg broke. Yeah,
but as a result, he was no longer able to infect everyone's lunch with salmonella. So it was well deserved.
Hi, Peter. Peter?
Hello.
Hi, who did you run into?
Mel Gibson.
Ooh.
Oh, was that ugly?
Did he have a go?
Yeah, he was sober.
Oh, was he?
He was sober.
Where was this?
We were in a workshop and he came in asking for directions in Albury a few years ago.
Ah. All right.
We didn't recognise until he walked out, though.
And then what happened? Then anything else happened there?
Nah.
Sweet.
Was he completely lost, do you think?
Yeah, he was just looking for some joint and he couldn't find it.
Right, do you think that was the Jew's fault?
Well, we couldn't find the place he was looking for either.
Oh, there we go. Okay. Thank you, Peter.
All right, hello. In Albury.
Hello there, Paul.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, good. You got a game for us?
Yeah, in high school we used to, we get a line of guys at lunchtime and then another line facing them. And one line would have their hands over their face and over their private areas. And we'd throw a tennis ball as hard as we could. And if they flinched or moved, the other line that threw the ball would run and get to punch them once in the arm.
Wow.
And how did you get yourself on the ball throwing line?
Well, you take in turns. So then the other line would have a go. But if you didn't move, you didn't get hit. So, yeah.
And was the idea of the game to try and aim for their privates and their face that wasn't being covered with their hand?
Yeah, I think so. Just try to get them to move so you can punch them.
Wow. See, this is what Australian childhood is like, Arch.
What was it called?
Don't move or you get punched.
Don't move or you get punched. It's got that
quite a great game.
Fantastic Abu Ghraib style feeling at primary school.
Finally, hello, Michelle.
Oh, hi there.
How are you? Who'd you bump into?
I ran into, I was actually at a nightclub in New York, with a girlfriend of mine, and she said, I think that's Leroy from Fame. And he was busting a few moves on the dance floor, and so she said, I've got to go up and ask. Wandered over and asked him, and he got so excited that he sort of jumped up and down on the spot and hugged her.
Wow.
Someone recognised him.
Did he have the leg warmers on?
He didn't have the leg warmers on, but he still had the same hairstyle he had in Fame.
Wow. Leroy from Fame. I think that's our biggest one today.
He was so excited about being noticed.
And, wow. And how's he going? What's Leroy up to these days?
I tell you what, his dance moves are still up to scratch.
Is that right?
Wow. See, Arj is blown away by this. Yeah, he's come all the way around the world to talk to someone who's met Leroy from Fame.
Hey, Arj. Made my trip complete.
Doesn't get any better than this.
That is quite an impressive selection. That's top shelf name dropping right there.
Yeah, with Leroy from Fame, Carl Kennedy from Neighbours, Mel Gibson, but nothing happened.
The guy who covers his genitals with his hands. We had everybody.
And then the guy from the Cougar Ad who's now playing, you know, Stockman Jim out of at Sovereign Hill.
Wow.
Big names.
They can be in the pantheon. Here at Get This. Arj, thanks for sitting in with us for the whole
thanks
hour.
Thanks for having me.
And you're obviously on tour. Next couple of weeks you're at the Fringe Festival in Melbourne, and then you're going all over. You're going to be in Newcastle for one thing, up in Queensland, getting around up there.
Yeah, I'm doing some shows in Brisbane.
New South Wales
and Perth,
and there's a DVD. If people can't get along to see you,
great.
They can take you home for the evening.
Arj Barker Live.
There it is.
Tonight, also, if you're into comedy, oh snap, comedy, the After Dark Bar in High Street, Northcote, in your Melbourne.
Yes.
8:30. It's on. Our friend Steele has got some comedy happening with some others.
Yeah, and why are we plugging this gig? Because he just bumped into you at the gym.
Yeah.
Man, I see Steele everywhere.
Do you?
Yeah, I saw Steele in a cafe last week.
Wow.
You've got a stalker. Excellent.
And what was our key phrase today, do you reckon, Ed? Oh, there were so many to choose from.
Red Hot Go.
Red Hot Go. And we'll be back tomorrow to wind up the week with Marty Sheargold.
Yeah.
And it's all thanks to the Mercedes-Benz Vito. Now it's all out and you know.
I think he's been incredibly generous and I thank him very warmly.